Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Do dead people really show up in Mormon temples? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson, and we are going to be looking at the subject of baptism for the dead, as we have for the past couple of days. A very important aspect of Mormonism, a very important doctrine. As we've mentioned earlier, Joseph Smith said that those saints who neglect it in behalf of their deceased relatives do it at the peril of their own salvation. He said the greatest responsibility in this world that God has placed upon us, meaning Latter-day Saints, is to seek after our dead. This is one of the great important aspects, I should say, of the Mormon temples, because this is where they are baptized by proxy on behalf of their dead relatives and others, hopefully giving them the opportunity to accept the Mormon gospel, as it's understood by Latter-day Saints, in the spirit world.
Well, and a lot of people who know Mormons probably know they're involved with genealogy. And the whole reason they do the genealogy isn't just because they're interested in tracing back their roots just for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. They're doing it because they hope that by finding these names, then they can go to the temple, one of the over 100 temples across the world, go inside there and do work on their behalf so that they might receive salvation after their death.
So it's not only salvific for the living Latter-day Saint to perform this work, it also becomes salvific for the dead. It's very, very important to Latter-day Saints that they perform this ordinance, not only for the benefit of themselves, but for also those who have departed. Now, the question that we asked at the beginning of the show is, do dead people really show up in Mormon temples? Now, if I was to say this publicly on some kind of news show, people would probably look at me cross-eyed and say, oh, people don't believe that. Come on, Bill. But there are actually documented accounts, at least documented sayings, of Mormons who have said just that, and they have found their way into various publications. Probably one of the most famous statements regarding the dead showing up in Mormon temples would be coming from the pen of Wilford Woodruff, who was the fourth president of the Mormon Church. He talks about an incident that took place in St. George, Utah, in March of 1877. Now, before I tell the story, Eric, you need to tell the story of how you visited the St. George Temple, and you were talking to a gentleman down there, a Mormon elder, and asking him about dead people showing up. What was his response? Was it horror or was it elation?
Well, and I brought something forth. 13th President Ezra Taft Benson, this is what he wrote in the Teachings of Ezra Taft Benson, page 604. The temple work for the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence and other founding fathers has been done. All these appeared to Wilford Woodruff, which you're going to read in just a second, when he was president of the St. George Temple. President George Washington was ordained a high priest at that time. You'll also be interested to know that according to Woodruff's journal, John Wesley, Benjamin Franklin, and Christopher Columbus were also ordained high priests at the time. So I went in with that information, with these names, and I told the elder, he was actually elderly, he was in his probably 60s or 70s, late 60s, probably 70s, and I asked, I understand that the signers of the Declaration of Independence have been baptized here, or have been seen here, and other people, and he got a big smile on his face, and he went behind the counter, and he pulled out a book that was being added to. It was a notebook, and it was filled with articles and other types of media, and he opened it up proudly, and he says, look at all the documentation we have of what you just said. He says, I'm so glad you've heard about this, and he was very proud about that. What was interesting, this was about 10 years ago before they had the new visitor center there at the St. George Temple. I had brought some friends with me, and it was on a Sunday. I didn't realize that they were going to be open on a Sunday, but they were. And so my friends were able to see all this information. And I had told them a little bit about what had happened at the St. George Temple. And they thought there was no way that anybody was going to admit to this. But admit to it, he did. And he went through and everything was fully documented with all these different articles.
Hmm. In the book, Temple Manifestations, written by a man named John Heinerman. Now, this book, it's been long out of print, but he gives all sorts of examples of the dead showing up in Mormon temples. And he tells this story on page 64, where he says, "Perhaps the best known of these instances is the coming of the signers of the Declaration of Independence to President Wilford Woodruff in the St. George Temple in early March 1877. 6 months later, he described the coming of these beings to him in an address delivered in the tabernacle." Now this, if you want to read it, you can find it in the Journal of Discourses, volume 19, page 229. This is what Wilford Woodruff said, who would become the fourth president of the Mormon Church. He said, "I feel to say little else to the Latter-day Saints wherever and whenever I have the opportunity of speaking to them than to call upon them to build these temples now underway, to hurry them up to completion. The dead will be after you. They will seek after you as they have after us in St. George. They called upon us, knowing that we held the keys and power to redeem them. I am going to bear my testimony to this assembly, if I never do it again in my life, that those men who laid the foundation of this American government and signed the Declaration of Independence were the best spirits the God of heaven could find on the face of the earth. They were choice spirits, not wicked men. General Washington and all the men that labored for the purpose were inspired of the Lord. Another thing I am going to say here, because I have the right to say it. Every one of these men that signed the Declaration of Independence with General Washington called upon me as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple at St. George two consecutive nights and demanded at my hands that I should go forth and attend to the ordinances of the house of God for them. Said they, 'You have had the use of the endowment house for a number of years, and yet nothing has been done for us. We laid the foundation of the government you enjoy, and we never apostatized from it, but we remained true to it and were faithful to God. These were the signer of the Declaration of Independence, and they waited on me for 2 days and two nights.'" Now, here he is having a conversation.
Wow.
With what he thinks is George Washington and the rest of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. So you can see how serious they take this.
One more time, you need to give the reference, because there are some people who just heard all of that. They didn't hear you the first time, and now they want to know where they can actually read that.
This is in the Journal of Discourses, volume 19, page 229. And I might remind you that the Journal of Discourses, it was encouraged by the Deseret book owned by the Mormon Church years ago, back in the 1960s at least, for members to buy copies of the Journal of Discourses. And you will find a lot of very incredible sermons in there that, of course, a lot of modern Mormons would like to distance themselves from today, because those speakers were just so very blunt about what they believe. And Mormons today would like to, I think, would rather they went away, but it's hard to make it go away. On page 66 of the same book, I'm just going to read you a little snippet here. It says, "Persons have told me of seeing their dead friends for whom they have officiated manifesting themselves to them." And then he goes on to tell this story. But you have another one from Anthon Lund. Very quickly, Aaron, because we're running out of time. But I think it's important that you read this.
Well, and Manti is a place that we go to every year to do evangelism. And spirits of early LDS church leaders have appeared there at the 1888 dedication ceremony. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young were there. But here's another story from Anthon H. Lund. This is a story he tells. He says, "I remember one day at the temple in Manti, a brother from Mount Pleasant rode down to the temple to take part in the work. And as he passed the cemetery in Ephraim, he looked ahead. It was early in the morning, and there was a large multitude all dressed in white. And he wondered how that could be. Why should there be so many up here? It was too early for a funeral, he thought. But he drove up, and several of them stepped out in front of him, and they talked to him. They said, 'Are you going to the temple?' 'Yes,' he replied. 'Well, these that you see here are your relatives, and they want you to do work for them.' 'Yes,' he said, 'but I am going down today to finish my work. I have no more names, and I do not know the names of those who you say are related to me. But when you go to the temple today, you will find there are records to give our names.' He was surprised. He looked until they all disappeared and drove on. As he came into the temple, recorder Farnsworth came up to him and said, "I have just received records from England, and they all belong to you." And there were hundreds of names that had just arrived, and what was told him by these persons that he saw was fulfilled. You can imagine what joy came to his heart and what a testimony it was to him that the Lord wants this work done. One of the things, Bill, in the temple, many Mormons are looking for this experience. They go out of their way to talk to a dead relative. I have talked to Mormons who will not tell specifics, but will acknowledge that they have talked to their wife or another loved one, a mother, whomever. This is something that is very common with many Latter-day Saints.
You were talking about the Manti Temple, and of course, Manti, there are a lot of recorded manifestations. Manti and St. George.
Those are two big
ones. Those are the two biggies when it comes to this. In the Temple Manifestations book on page 96, he talks about the dedication of the Manti Temple, and he says, "A few people in attendance at the dedicatory services reported beholding the spirits of early church leaders who were already deceased." It goes on page 97 to say, "On the 22nd of May, when Brother John W. Taylor was speaking, a bright halo surrounded him. And in that halo, the personages of Presidents Brigham Young, John Taylor, and a third personage, whom she believed to be the Prophet Joseph, were seen by Sister Emma G. Bull of Salt Lake City. Also, the personage of Brother Jedediah M. Grant was seen by her standing by his son, Heber J. Grant." Now, Jedediah M. Grant was an apostle. Heber J. Grant became a president of the church. "Looking towards him while he was speaking, they were surrounded by a bright halo." Numerous of these accounts are found out with this book. And again, this is a positive thing for Latter-day Saints.
Real quickly, Bill, what does the Bible say about this?
Well, the Bible certainly says to stay away from this kind of stuff, that this kind of dealing with the dead, speaking with the dead, is something that should be shunned and not something that should be embraced. But as we've mentioned in these past few broadcasts, that this is something that is looked upon as being very positive by Latter-day Saints, something that they actually look forward to. And I would say, I would caution you, Christian, this is not something you want to dabble with. You do not want to dabble with this. And certainly there's no biblical justification for it. And as we're going to look at it tomorrow, we're going to look at the very verse that Mormons often use to support this teaching.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wanted to go to the Holy Land? It's the place where Jesus walked, a place of great significance in our Bibles. In late February of 2013, Mormonism Research Ministry and Utah Lighthouse Ministry are hosting an 11-day trip to Israel. Among other places, we will experience baptism in the Jordan River, walk through Hezekiah's Tunnel, explore Masada, and float in the Dead Sea. During our trip, we plan to spend a day with Israeli resident Joel Kramer, a former Utah pastor and current film producer, who will take us to Cave 1 and Qumran and Jericho as well. In addition, a 7-day pre-extension tour to Turkey is available. Your price includes all transportation, admission fees, meals and taxes, and tips. If you've never been to the Holy Land, or even if you have, join Bill McKeever, Sandra Tanner, and several local Utah pastors for the trip of a lifetime. It all begins February 19th, 2013. Visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com for more information or call 602-788-8864.